All right, I wanted to once more talk to all of you guys about why Christianity is not a religion. Do you guys get something out of that? And I think when you start understanding it, how many of you guys have ever heard it's a relationship? I heard that my whole life growing up, but nobody explained what kind of relationship, what that even means. So I still saw God as this judgmental God that he's ready with a stick. The minute I mess up, he's going to beat me with a stick. Amen? Isn't that how you saw it? We're pleasing to him until we mess up. Then he's got his stick at any moment ready to beat us. Nothing could be further from the truth. Not even close. So it's, well, I guess if that's, here's what I don't like about that is if you have that view of your father, and some of you guys had fathers like that, I understand it. But you're not orphaned, you know, all of this teaching, hey, the orphan spirit, you're not an orphan. You're a son of the Most High God. Amen? Let's not be victims. Let's be victors in Christ Jesus. Is this? I struggle with the whole. I'm an orphan and I'm a victim, and I'm like, no way. How could I be a victim? Scripture says I'm more than a conqueror in Him, and if you're in Him, then you're more than a conqueror, right? So the church is supposed to be this glorious, beautiful body of Christ, not a victim. A victim of anything. I don't care what it is. You can make yourself a victim of anything. How many of you guys know the life's not fair? It's not. You get more than you deserve. Amen? In Jesus, you get more than you deserve. That's what he really wants you to see is in him, you get what you don't deserve. Amen? And you don't get what you deserve. That's called mercy. His grace is you get superabundance. Amen? And in fact, this term's been thrown around a lot lately as hyper grace. Some of you guys heard of that. Well, how much is too much? I don't like that even because, well, that's hyper grace. Well, what's too much? What's the level? Well, that's grace, but not, can't have that. Of course not. Now you just put a but on there, in my opinion. Is, you know where it says where sin abounds, grace what? Hyper abounds. It actually, Paul himself said there's hyper grace. He said, no matter where the mistake is, where the falling short is, I'm going to super abound. My grace is going to hyper grace. So people ask me, do I believe in it? Yeah, I do. If not, could any of us be saved? He came for the ungodly is what we saw last week. Amen? So that's hyper grace, isn't it? We don't deserve anything, yet he gave it to us. So where's the level? I get it. You know, people are teaching different things like that. But it, to me, if there's not hyper grace, then we're in trouble. Because he came to save the ungodly. Amen? Now, why people teach that is they think, well, if you tell people that everything's he's going to love them, he's going to bless them, he's going to favor them, he's going to heal them unconditionally, well, then they'll just run off and do whatever they want to do. No, that's what they're doing now because they don't understand that. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when they think they're sinners, when they think they're condemned, when they think they have to perform, works of the flesh happen. But it says, when you know that you're righteous despite yourself, he goes, now you'll exhibit fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control, peace, joy, love, happiness, etc. And you won't get angry at people that enjoy hyper-grace. Get it? Now, I had to question myself on that because people are like, do you believe in hyper grace? Well, no, because it's hyper grace. Well, I'm like, well, wait a minute. What's the definition of it? If it's not hyper, then it's not grace. Because I don't find the limit. Amen? Is there any place that in the, watch closely how Jesus looked at everybody and touched everybody that came to him and saw him as Savior. When they were undeserving, did he ever withhold any good thing from them? Never. Never. The only people he got irritated by were people saying, you got to perform to receive from God. And he called them whitewashed tombs, vipers, snakes. No matter how you look at it, those were harsh words. Amen? And those were all to the religious leaders. So I got to be careful. They put undue burdens on you. Because that's not what it's about. Amen? It's about a relationship. I get it. It's a relationship that Christ did everything for us. So let's go through this a little bit. I just want to cover this because I think if you get this, you're free from all the stuff, guys. As you're free, if the Son has set you free from what? Everything. Well, that sounds hyper. Yep. Amen. It's the too good to be true news. Amen. So let's just go through this a little bit, little review. Every religion, and that's why I'm talking about Christianity is the only thing. It's not a religion because religion is us trying to please God. Christianity, a relationship that we're sons. Is he came down to please the Father to redeem us. Amen? He did all the pleasing. Every religion has some form of karma. We talked about that last week. And karma is simple. is if we went down the street and you asked people, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? What will they say? They'll start giving you a list of things why they're not that bad and why they're pretty good. Amen? And the book of Romans talks about all that. The first three chapters, they go, listen, when we left it up to man, you blew it. When we left it up under the law, you blew it. So the law was given so that everybody had to zip their lip. Amen? The law was never given for you to obey because you can't. The law was given to show you that you can't do it. So he had to come down himself to redeem us and do everything for us. He loved us so much, he himself came down. It says, no man can ascend to heaven. Right? So what did he do? Leave us in our helplessness? No, he came down. Isn't that amazing? He came down. So karma's simple. Hey, if you do good, I talked about last week, Joseph Prince says it this way. Hey, be good, get good, be bad, get beat. It's called religion. And most denominations of Christianity have the same thing. Is, hey, there's certain dead works, whether it's praying, fasting, not opposed to any of that, but if you're trying to do it to please God, it's a dead work. Does that make sense? He wants you to enjoy everything Jesus did for him. So, for all of us. So, there is no karma. You don't reap what you sow anymore. Amen to that. Hallelujah. That's old covenant nonsense. If you reap the wind, if you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Here, we sowed nonsense and we get abundance. How's that work? That's why life is not fair. We get what we don't deserve. Amen? We get way better than what you deserve. So I want you to start seeing yourself that way as not a victim, like, well, Lord, I was born into the wrong family. I did this. And, oh, you know, you got to reap what you sow. No way. No way. That's why I shared with you with Bono. That's actually pretty good. He says some bad words in there. That's why I can't put it up here. But he gets it. I was like, that's so amazing to me that these artists, et cetera, goes, listen, if not for the grace of God, man, I'm in trouble. And that's me too. Okay? So every religion has some set of things to do in order to be pleasing to God. Those are dead works. Christ himself made us well-pleasing in the beloved is what it says. He made us. Isn't that awesome? So let's go through this a little bit. What makes Christianity different? It's grace. It's grace. That's what makes it different. And that's where it's hard to figure out sometimes because they're trying to find it in the Gospels and it's hidden. This whole thing of this mystery of the church, it says it was a secret until it was revealed to Paul. So they're trying to teach out of the Gospels what our experience is today, and it's not there. It's types and shadows are there. But Mark, you and I were talking about this before. I go, all the problems come in the Gospels and Hebrews on. You'll never find the problems in Paul's writings for Christians. There's no confusion in there. It's everything's yes and amen. You are the church. You're the body. With us, the secret that God was going to make Jew and Gentile one and pour his spirit out on all of us for nothing that we had to do. And now we get to inherit and be a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Does that sound like sheep? Is a sheep ever a joint heir? See, it's this mystery that it's where the church is this magnificent thing that we're supposed to enjoy. Amen? It's this eyes not seen, ears not heard, yet it is revealed to us, is what it says. Hallelujah. So people preach that eyes not seen, nor ears heard, nor is it into the heart of any man what God has prepared for us. Yet I've revealed it to you. So most people don't have their revelation yet because they're still trying to earn it. So there's no karma. Grace is simply God dying for you and blessing you for no other reason than he likes it. I'm well pleased to do this thing. Amen? And now if you read in Hebrews 10, what we were just talking about, he goes, hey, God wasn't happy with sacrifices of goats and bulls. He goes, he wanted himself to come down and do it for us. That's what he was well pleased in is what it says. Isn't that awesome? Because even in that, they still had to do something. They still had to bring the lamb. God goes, you know what? I'm going to bring the lamb. And all you can do is thank you, Father. Now, good news? It's awesome. So let's keep going. Christ did not die for us because we were great and deserved it. This is a little review from last week. Why did he die for us? He loves us. Amen? Unconditionally. So when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the righteous, the good people. See, we're supposed to have we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ with the message of reconciliation, that Christ has redeemed you. He's made your slate clean, as if you've never sinned, and he just wants to love you, hug you, relationship with you. Amen? That's the relationship we've been taught all of our life. We want this relationship. And you know what? When you get that, when you wake up every morning and go, I'm not guilty of anything. Hallelujah. Now you'll start living that. You really will. Out of the abundance of the heart is where you start living. Amen? You live by the Spirit, not by your flesh, not by your works. Get it? And flesh is not sexual sin. It's your effort to be pleasing to God. You understand that? It's, if you don't know you're pleasing to God, will you probably perform sexual sins? Yes. But that's not what it is. It's because you don't know that you're well-pleasing to God that you go do stuff like that. Amen? And I'm not condemning anybody because it says if I've been guilty in one thing, I'm guilty of it all. So I'm just telling you how to get free from all the nonsense. If you're still struggling with something, stop worrying about, if I was a good Christian, I wouldn't be struggling with this. Nothing could be further from the truth, guys. Is when you know that you're completely forgiven, you're righteous, you're holy despite anything you did, and he's well-pleased with you in the middle of your nonsense, now there's a rest from me performing. That's the rest. And I trust that he still loves me. He's still going to favor me. He's going to bless me no matter what. That's the rest. Amen? You guys get it? That will produce fruit of the Spirit. How hard does an orange work on the orange tree out on the limb? How hard does it work? It doesn't go, I'm going to produce a big orange to be pleasing to the tree. It hangs out in the sunlight. It receives everything. It receives nutrients from the vine. It feeds the sun. Amen? And it just produces. That's what will happen in your life when you go wake up every morning. Thank you, Father. You're going to favor me for no other reason because you like it. Isn't that awesome? You're going to heal me despite me. Amen? Because you love it. That's who you are. I saw how Jesus did it in the Bible. That's how you're going to do it to me because he doesn't change. It says if you've seen Jesus, and go look at Jesus. He's the Godhead fully that came in a body is what it said. So he's the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, all in, wrapped up in one. If you've seen him, you've seen everything is what it says. And anybody who came to him for anything received. When they came to him, boasted in how good they were. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know all the rules. That's what how he responded to the rich young ruler. And he goes, yep, I know all the rules and I've kept them since my youth. And Jesus said he loved him. He was sad that he was going to go away and not receive from him. He says, gosh, there's always one thing you've missed. But when the woman caught in adultery came, he goes, where are your condemners? I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. Now go, be free, and sin no more. That's how he responds to us. Isn't that awesome? So when you call out and go, Lord, I deserve nothing, but you'd love to save me, that's when he does it. Isn't that good news? It's good news to me anyway, because he died for the impious, wicked, and ungodly. All you and I. Hallelujah. I know religious people don't like to say that, but I joy in it, actually. Thank you, Father. Right? They talk a good talk. Oh, you save a wretch like me, yet I'm pretty good. Because I don't do all the stuff you non-believers do. Amen? Bring me the heathens, man. I'm at home. I really am. I probably won't say that. No, I will. It's fun, because it's fun to me. I won't say everything you said, but Jay and Marlo here? No? Okay, we Jay and Marlo, he's like, it's just funny to me what he said. I'm not going to say it all because it's some of their personal things. He goes, you know what? I'm going to wear cutoff jeans, a t-shirt, and we're going to go to the demolition derby at the Colorado State Fair. He goes, that's what I'm going to look like when I'm there. I go, I'm at home. That's what I look like if you come to my house during the week because I'm in shorts and whatever. I go, that's who I am. I'm totally comfortable there. Amen? That good news? Now, they just don't know the good news because they think the church and God and everybody else is still angry at them. That's why they avoid it. Guys, Christianity is the biggest lottery ticket you could ever win. It's hyper, it's huge, it's massive. Amen? Because we don't get what we deserve. In fact, we get everything Jesus qualifies us for. Now, that's how you start living out of that life. I didn't come to condemn you. What did he say? I came to give you life and live it not too much. Only to a level. What did he say? I came to give you life and live it more abundantly. That's a lot. Amen? So, call it what you want. All right, so who did he die for? The ungodly, okay? So we cannot be good enough to reach heaven. No, nobody can. That's what Romans 1-3 talks about. Listen, in and of yourself, your law keeping, I sent you. In every way, you failed, so guess what? I had to come down myself and do it for you. You guys get it? Okay, so Christ died for the needy, the lost, the ungodly, undeserving. That qualifies all of us. He died simply because he loves his children. Isn't that good news? Now, let's just give you a couple more scripture references that show you this. John 3:16. King David, this is exactly what we were talking about right before you came in. Because he was with a group of guys. He goes, what qualifies us to be a Christian? What qualifies you to be a Christian? That's right. You come with nothing and go, Lord, please save me. Qualified is what he says. Isn't that awesome? That's literally what he means. He goes, I give grace to the humble, but I resist the self-righteous, the proud, the ones that think they can do it themselves. I'll resist them. That's what he did with the rich young ruler. You can't earn it. There's no way you kept all those since your youth. It's impossible. Amen? You're free from all that nonsense. That wasn't God's best. When the Jews at Mount Sinai said, we want the law, we want to perform, they fell from grace. Isn't that interesting? They were at a high place. They were in a covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they go, we're well able to perform, and they fell from grace. That's what falling from grace is. And then grace is the high place. You're seated on the throne in Christ Jesus. All right, so John 3:16. No one has ascended to heaven, even though people are trying. Isn't that pretty much every religion? Do these things, and somehow you'll reach this spiritual place that you're one with God. Everybody's trying to be one with God. Why? Because there's a truth in that. But in the new covenant, Paul says you're complete in him. You're one with him. Two have become one. It's this mystery like a marriage is what he says. Amen? The Father's now going to treat you as his bride. He's going to cleanse you, wash you with his message of forgiveness, of love, everything else. He's going to wash him with the word is what he says. Isn't that awesome? So, how many guys know you can read the Bible and not get washed? It's not just your Bible reading. That's what people get. Get in the word more. That's usually about the time I go, it sounds like blasphemy, but put your Bible down for a week. Just enjoy them. Just enjoy them. And then you know what? Then when you pick it up again, you'll enjoy it. You'll start to see things through the lens of grace. Just go, this is what he meant by all of that. That wasn't written to me. That's why it's so critical. Hey, who is it written to? If I write a message to Arnold and I give it to my wife, she's going to go, what in the world is this? Amen? Yet, you guys read some of those letters to the 12 tribes and you think, oh, that's written to me. No, if I write a letter to Arnold and she reads it, she can understand my character, how I'm going to, what I'm like, etc. by reading that letter, but it's not exactly for her. Does that make sense? Like I've accidentally sent text messages to men that said, you're hot. And I'm like, oh, that was to Ron. Doggone it. That was supposed to go to my wife. That wasn't to her. Does that make sense? That's when you humbly go, delete that one. How many guys ever done that? Life was easy before texting. Or you send it on a group text and go, did I just send that on a group text? Right? Yeah, that's where it gets fun. So it's not written to you, some of that stuff. Amen? Now, can we learn from all of it? Yes, that's what Paul said. All of it's for doctrine, reproof, and correction, but it's not all for you exactly. So you got to know who is it written to and when. Those are the two key things, before the cross or after. Because before the cross, Jesus says something like this. Hey, forgive if you want your sins forgiven. After the cross, what does he say? Forgive them because you have been forgiven. Everything's out of abundance in the cross. We've received everything. Now we can give out of our abundance. New covenant, under the law, hey, you'd have to tithe. Old covenant, I mean, you have to tithe. New covenant, hey, give out of your abundance, knowing that you're already rich. You guys get it? Hallelujah. So, old covenant, we were given under the high priest. New covenant, we're given under the priesthood of Melchizedek, which never changes, is what it says. So, all right. No one has ascended to heaven, even though religions are trying to get you to. So I would tell you, stop trying and just realize you're already there. You're seated in him. You can't get any higher. Okay? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why was the serpent in the wilderness, the bronze serpent, lifted up? If they all the judgment, bronze is always a picture of judgment. So it says, you know what? When they looked to the bronze judgment of the serpent, they no longer were bit by the snakes. You guys get it? They were healed if they were bit by a snake. So that's a picture of Jesus is what it says. Just as Moses was lifted up, as long as they looked at the cross, guess what? They were free, right? And they realized that all the judgment was placed on the cross. So that's what he's saying here. Just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That was a picture of the good things to come. That he was placed on the cross, all the judgment of the world came on Jesus, now you're free. The real thing, that's what Hebrews 10 says, hey, that was a type and shadow of the real thing, but the real thing is what? Jesus. Faith is belief in Jesus, that he qualified us for all those promises, now they're yes and amen. It's not difficult. Does that make sense? It's not a level, it's a reality. That's what faith is. Faith is the title deed that we have all those things. So, if you start from a place where I have to build something to get there, you're going to struggle. You got to start from the place that I have those promises because Jesus did it. I have the title deed is what it says. Most of the teaching says work, pray, fast to get the title deed. Oh, maybe I didn't work enough. Maybe I don't have the title deed yet. Don't you hear most believers talk like that? Yet he goes, no, you have the title deed. Those were shadows. The real thing was Christ. You've got it all. Amen? And when you start to operate from that, you'll just miraculously start experiencing him in your life. I can't explain it. It just happens. So, for God so loved the world that, what happened? He gave. See, it's grace. He wants to be seen as the giver always, all the time. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have Zoe life, his very life. Amen? So, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, even though that's what a lot of the teaching believes, isn't it? That's why I laugh at those bumper stickers. Get busy, he's coming back. No, it says something like that. It says, look busy, he's coming back, or something like that. So, the emphasis is on you doing to be pleasing to God all the time. You guys know what bumper sticker I'm talking about? It makes me laugh every time I see it, because it's pretty witty to me. Because that's how I kind of grew up, is, hey, you know what? Man, you better do that, or you're not pleasing to God. He's coming back soon. Get busy. Right? Do I believe he's coming back soon? Yeah, I do. Of course I do. Yet there's nothing for you and I to worry about. Amen? Moon's going to turn blood red. I get it. Right? Is Jesus going to go through wrath? Does he deserve wrath? And you're in him. And guess what? You've already escaped. Hallelujah. You're free. There's nothing to worry about. I get it. There's obviously something going on. And I can't claim to understand all that. But the fact that these blood wounds are happening on the Jewish feasts, I get it. But it says the Jews require a sign, not believers. The Jews require a sign. Amen? We don't. He said, you know what? The greatest sign you're ever going to see is I came. I was Jonah. I went into the belly of the fish. I went into hell for 3 days and I rose again. You don't believe that sign? Then you're not going to believe all this other stuff. But guess what? What Jesus even said to Thomas, what did he say? Thomas, you believe because you saw. But blessed are the people who believe and they didn't see any sign. They just believed the good news. Amen? That's you and I. That's you and I. So there's nothing to worry about. Praise God. We're not requiring a sign. We already believe. You're in him and we're saved from wrath is what it says. Isn't that good news? So I can't claim to understand all that. I don't want to understand it all. I tend to focus on, thank you, Father. I'm redeemed from all the nonsense. And I don't have to plant hydroponics in my basement or something to live. That's not how it's going to be. You guys get it? It's not. It's because he can make water come out of a rock. If we need it, we're going to have it. He withholds no good thing to those who need it. All right? So if you need anything, it's yours. So he gave his only son that who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be sozoed, prospered, healthy, everything. Guys, you know where the first place you need to prosper is your conscience. You need to know you're forgiven. You know you're perfect in him, that he's not judging you. Anything you've ever done, he goes, it's over. I've finished. There's no enmity between God and man. We're one with him. Amen? When you get that in the middle of your nonsense, you go, I'm righteous despite all that. That's where everything starts to flow. Hallelujah. And then you start living his life effortlessly. It really is. It's as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's who he's going to be. And you know how he wants you to see yourself? As he is in heaven, so are we when we get there. No, in this world, amen. We're in him. Hallelujah. If he's not going through the wrath, then guess what? I'm not going through the wrath. Hallelujah. Is he ever being punished for sin? Then you and I are not being punished for sin because we're one. We're in him. We're literally his body. Hallelujah. Is Jesus prosperous? Then you're prosperous because you're in him. Would the Father withhold any good thing from Jesus? Then he will not withhold anything good for you. Up until now, you haven't asked because you didn't understand this thing. But now you can ask as if you're in my name. You carry my name. Hallelujah. The greatest name you could ever carry is his name. I was born into that family. Guys, you're born on the right side of the tracks. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're born into an inheritance. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys get it? So, God did not send his son to condemn it. Thank you, Father. But that the world through him, because of all of his efforts, nothing you to do might be sozo. You can receive what you don't deserve through him. You guys get it? Is that grace? That's grace. What if we make a mistake? Then it'll hyper grace. Literally what it says. It says hooper. But we try to put limits on it, amen? And I'm not, hey, listen, I've taught all that wrong for a long time, trust me, because that's what I was taught. But then you start questioning yourself, well, what is it? If it's not super, if it's not hyper, if it's not hooper, is what it says in Greek, then that's what the Bible teacher told me it was. No, he goes, where mistakes happen, grace superabounds, amen? That's good news for every one of you and I, hallelujah? You can continue to believe that he's going to, it says, hope never fails, new covenant hope. Amen? It's the confident expectation something good's going to happen. Why? Because of nothing you did. That's called karma. Get it? It's everything that he did. That's the karma we're going to get. Jesus did everything perfectly. By one man's obedience, you've been perfected forever. Hallelujah. So bring every thought into the captive to the obedience of your obedience. No, it says bring every thought into, God's going to bless me based on the obedience of Christ. The obedience captive to the obedience of Christ. That's where he wants you to bring your thoughts down. Amen? That's the true spiritual warfare, is what you believe in your heart. So, you guys get that? So, was there any reason he came except that he loved us? The only reason given, isn't it? Because God so loved the world, he wanted to be seen as the giver. Hallelujah. So loved, he gave. He didn't condemn, he saves. Hallelujah. You guys get it? That's the lottery ticket of Christianity, man. So let's keep going. So why aren't believers enjoying his fullness, his grace upon grace? We saw that last week. Hey, I'm going to give you grace, and then I'm going to replace it with what? Grace. It says grace, anti-grace, like anti-pasta. It's the same word. Instead of pasta. That's anti-pasta. You guys know what I'm talking about? So it goes, instead of grace, I'm going to anti-grace. Instead of grace, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to replace grace with grace. Hallelujah. Amen. We're saved by faith. To faith. We didn't do anything to be saved except accept him. That's how you're going to be saved in every area of your life. Accept him. Father, you want to bless me? Then who am I to tell you you shouldn't? I receive grace upon grace. That's how I want you to start looking at life. Amen. And when you start, that's what he said, you know what? You should have no more consciousness of sin. That was it was all about. He goes, but this man came and sacrificed himself, so there's no more consciousness of it. Hallelujah. You guys get it? When you start teaching, yeah, but you got to do this, guess what? They're conscious of your own failure again, aren't you? He goes, you know what? You'll live a better life if you wake up every morning and go, I am saved, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm healthy. For no other reason than he loves me that much. Amen? And I can expect you're going to favor me today in my business deal. You're going to favor me in this meeting. You're going to favor me in this promotion in my job. You're going to favor me if I have to go interview for a job. Amen? For no other reason than he loves you that much. He wants you. You are the set apart, the holy ones, is what he said. You're sanctified forever. Do you believe in eternal salvation? It's the only kind. Amen? Yeah, I do. Because if it's not eternal, then I wonder if I'm in it, is it, right? And if it's based on my own actions, I'm probably not in it. Of course, I believe in it. Because forever means forever. You've been sanctified forever. Yeah, call it what you want. I don't care what you call it. So there's nothing short of it's grace upon grace, faith from faith to faith. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Romans 5, 6, when we were still without sin, without strength, in due time Christ died for the impious, wicked, ungodly. Right? This is why most people aren't enjoying it. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. They don't understand the much more. He sent his son when you were ungodly, because simply because he loved you that much. Isn't that what it says? So if that was the case, the much more now comes into effect. Having been reconciled, see, people don't believe they're reconciled. They believe their actions is what reconciles them. They believe they have to have perfect thoughts. They can't have negative thoughts. They can't have sinful thoughts. Right? If I was a good Christian, I wouldn't have that thought. That's why we're nervous when we hear this. You give account for every idle word. You start going, oh, no. He heard that one too? Yeah. You're going to account for it someday. No, no, no. You're going to get an account for you if you rejected the Savior. It's the only idle words. Hallelujah. So, because I know Word of Faith can get hyper on that. Don't say that. You're going to get what you receive. No, that's old covenant nonsense. You're going to get what you believe you're going to receive. That's what you're going to get. Amen? And it's going to come out of your mouth. So it's not the fact that you spoke it. It's the fact that this is what you're in here. Amen? So, if we were enemies, when we were this ungodly, impious, wicked, and his death redeemed us from all that, how much more, having been reconciled, our slate's been wiped clean. He's reconciled our checking account. Our checking account has lots of zeros in it now because of what Jesus did for us. Amen? That's literally what it means. Amen? He imputed to us, not sin. What did he impute to us? Him. Literally him. Our account now says Jesus. That's good, isn't it? So having been reconciled, we shall be sozoed now that he's back alive. Hallelujah. So he goes, blessed is the man that God does not impute sin. But what does he impute to our account? Jesus himself. That's who our account is. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So people aren't receiving it because they're sin conscious. They think, I don't deserve it. But nothing could be further from the truth. He made you deserving. It says, I've made you highly favored or accepted in the beloved family of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? You're back in the family. Isn't that good news? So what do we need to do? We need to renew our mind to that every day. That's why I just enjoy them. You know what? If your prayer time, if you're, I'm going to say this with all respect, if your religious exercises are a burden to you, then stop for a while. Enjoy him for a while. Renew your mind about everything he's done for you for a while. Guess what? Now you'll enjoy praying. You'll enjoy worshiping. You'll be skipping around the house. Honestly. Now, when I wake up every morning, do I feel like that? No. No. I don't. And neither do you. So what do I need to do? Renew my mind to that's who I am. You know what? I'm alive today, so I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. Because he made this day, and I can expect what Jesus deserved. Now I start to get a little excited. If I start looking what I deserve, snooze. Right? Yes. We shall be sozoed that he's alive. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That's what it means, guys, is we can expect the favor we don't deserve. Life's not fair. We get way more than what we ever deserved. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to start looking at that. Well, life's not fair, you know, because we teach it in the negative most of the time. I understand that. Right? And it's not. Favor is completely unfair. That's why God wanted the believers, this set apart. He wanted us to look different. To be different, to have joy in our life when people are sorrowful. Amen? The world can be falling around apart around you, and what do? I'm confident that he's going to save me from this situation. Amen? Why? Because we get what we don't deserve. Hallelujah? You guys get it? Now, will that make you run off and do crazy things? No. You'll actually live by the Spirit. You'll actually exhibit fruits of the Spirit. You won't have the tendency to do those crazy things. If you keep making the same mistake, it's typically because there's a judgment there yet that you feel guilty about something. But once you realize, hey, you know what? I'm not guilty of that anymore. Guess what? That's the teacher that teaches you to deny that. Because grace is a teacher that will teach me to deny, keep doing that. You guys get it? It's 180 degrees from religion. That's why most doctrines, theologies struggle with it. Because it's crazy. It's this mysterious secret that God prepared for us, this church, that it's what it says. You know what? The prophets, the angels longed for the day to see this special people is what it says. They wanted to see you. Who are these people that God's going to treat like that? There's kind of types and shadows, and he's talking about it in the old covenant. Who are these people? It's you and I. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. Anyway, let's keep going here. Let's finish this up. So grace literally is Christ dying for you and blessing you for another reason than it pleases him to do it. You know why you can expect to be healed no matter what? Because that's who he is. He loves to heal. Amen? And the reality is he healed. He did it. So the fight of faith is simply this. Hey, you know what? If I see symptoms, guess what? I renew my mind that, you know what? I don't have to worry about this because he is going to heal me. I can be confident expectation that something good is going to come out of this. Amen? If you're in a situation where, gosh, how am I going to get out of this? Guess what? Through every trial, the solution is right in the trial. You're going to come out better than when you went through it. That's the restoration. Amen? So, therefore, should we go on sinning so that hyper-grace will abound? No, but it will. That's not what Paul's talking about. He said, no, it's an impossibility. So even when you made a mistake, it'll hooper abound. So do we run around and sin? No, it's an impossibility. You're dead to that. Nice try. Right, is what Paul's saying. But the reality is, no, I'm just going to treat you as a son for the rest of my life. Amen? You get it? Okay, so Jesus resisted all the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the self-righteous. He, go look at it in the scriptures. Was Jesus mad at anybody in the Gospels? Yes. Who was he mad at? The self-righteous. Did he love them? Yeah, he wept over them is what he says. Gosh, Israel, I longed to, but you wouldn't receive me as a savior. You wanted to stay in darkness in your law keeping. Amen? Amen. Because you're not very good at it. All have come short. So everybody that came to him and go, I'm helpless. Did he save them? Yes, and he did it more abundantly. He enjoyed it. He loved it. Nobody can ascend to heaven. He's going to come down and do it himself. Hallelujah. And now for us, this new covenant church, it's finished. Everything's done. That's the place we need to stay. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So the ungodly, the sick, the needy, the poor, the undeserving, hey, I've got good news for you. He freely gives all of that. He'll take care of every one of those situations. So if that applies to any one of you, how come people aren't enjoying this? One, they don't feel deserving, so guess what? The only unanswered prayer, I can teach you about unanswered prayer. You guys want to know which prayer God doesn't answer? The one you don't pray. It's exactly right. We're willing to go through nonsense and struggle and stuff, and he doesn't want that. He goes, you're my privileged sons that I did everything for. All you need to do is ask. He wants to be seen as the giver and us as the receiver the whole time. Amen? And will he freely give? Yes. So that's what I want to spend some time just praying. Because he answers everyone. Isn't that good? I read all these unanswered prayer books and it's, gosh, you get worn out afterwards. You start, oh, maybe I didn't do that enough. Maybe I didn't. Maybe my faith level is not high enough. I don't have faith for that yet. No, that's not what it says. If you ask, what does he do? He gives it. Amen? In fact, he loves it so much, he goes, I'm going to give it before you even ask. Hallelujah? Now, when you renew your mind to that, guess what? You'll start to live life out of that. I'm not saying trials don't come. All of us are in different stages and trials in all different areas of our life. But guess what? The good news to you is he's going to save you from every one of them. Hallelujah. You guys get it? And if you don't have enough faith, is he going to be mad at you? No, he's going to hooper abound in that very area. I don't know what it's hyper. It's literally what it means. It hoopers. It's super hooper. Hyper. It really is that word. It's pretty fascinating. Amen? So anywhere where you lack, you're sick, you're needy, you guess what? You're a super candidate for his hooper. Is literally what it says. Where anywhere you've fallen short in the glory of God, he goes, I came to save you in that very area. You're a candidate for my hooper grace. That good news? That's better news than, well, balance this baby out, Arnold. There's no balance. He came to save the ungodly. Hallelujah. And when you live out of that, you'll live out of a supernatural life. You really will start living a supernatural life. So it's a tough message, I get it, because it's contrary to everything we've been taught. Even most of the Bible teaching is opposite of that. Amen? Yet if he came to the ungodly, come on, much more. What is much more? Much more. What does that sound like? Sounds like a lot more. Amen? And then we try to limit it with our teaching. He goes, no, expect the much more. Amen? You guys get it? Have you been diagnosed with incurable disease? You can expect the much more. Hallelujah. Amen? See, it's God's weird. The harder it is to heal, the easier it is for God. See, because I use the little things to confound the big earthly things. Amen? So everything fell with a meal. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to restore it in the garden with a meal. Hallelujah. He's just awesome, isn't he? He's one step ahead of everything. So, that you guys get this? What makes you different? Jesus, grace. He descended from heaven to do all the work for you. Now, if you receive that, guess what? If you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, what will happen? You'll start to experience life, is what he says. You'll start to experience exactly what I came for. Amen? You guys get it? So expect life this week. Expect supernatural things in your life. Expect supernatural things in your profession. Expect supernatural things with your health. And if it doesn't show up yet, just keep waiting. It'll manifest. Amen? Expect it because it'll happen. There's no, well, I wonder if it's his will. No, it's his will. Did Jesus ever say that? No. He didn't ever pray how we pray. Well, if it's your will, Lord, heal this person. Did he? Father, thank you. You've heard me. That's the only reason I'm saying this, so they know that I've talked to you, and I know your will is to heal. Be healed. Hallelujah? Isn't that good news? All right, I'll get you out of here. Is there games going on today? Donkeys are tonight, right? Cowboys are right now, aren't they? Yeah, there's a couple of Cowboys fans. I was in mourning for all you Cowboys fans last week when I saw Romo go down. Dolphins are usually out by week 7, so I don't need to worry about them. I don't have confident expectation of that, so maybe my faith level is not high enough there. Ah, there's good news, amen? We're the set apart ones. We're the holy sanctified body of Christ, amen? So, and if you're not part of that, it's very simple. You go, you know what? The worst thing God wants you to do is think that he's upset with you, that he's mad at you, that he's punishing you for anything you've ever done, because it's untrue. He says, listen, just as the serpent was lifted up and all the judgment was placed on him in the wilderness, me, myself, I'm going to come down from heaven and I'm going to get up on the cross and the world's judgment's going to come down on me. So you're free for the rest of your life. How can that be? Because I know I'm not that good. I know. He loved you so much that he wanted to do that for you. That's the message of Christ. Amen. That's the good news. So if you accept that message, guess what? You're born out of that spirit now. You're born out of a spirit of innocence. You're a new creation. That the old, all that sinful things, the thoughts about yourself, all the things you've done wrong, everything else, he goes, that's passed away. You're brand new in me. Amen? Even the things you're going to do this afternoon, you're free. I said 30 years from now because it's the first time I ever heard Joseph Prince say that. I go, but no, the stuff you're going to do in the parking lot, you're already free. Why? Because he loves it. He just loves it. Amen? He loves you that much. He goes, I set you free from everything. You're a new creation. You're spotless. You're sanctified. You're holy. That's what being a believer is. Amen? And not only that, he took you out of Egypt. Those were types and shadows. He freed you from your sin. So now you're one with God. But most people still stay in the wilderness. That's only half the gospel. The other half of the gospel is he goes, I freed you from what you deserved. Your fallen nature, your sin. Amen? Now I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. It's called the promised land, where you can enjoy the work of another man, is what it says. You're going to live in houses you didn't build, drink from wells you didn't dig. What is he talking about there? I can expect the favor, the blessing, the health of Jesus, because it was Jesus' work that qualified for me. Jesus is the promised land. Amen? I know that's not taught. I know that sounds like heresy. Well, why isn't the church doing it? I showed you why, because they still think they're ungodly. They still think they're sinners. They don't think they deserve it. That is a lie, whoever said that. That is a lie. He's the accuser of the brethren. He tries to get you to believe that you're not worthy. Jesus' whole message is, I've made you worthy. Amen? So if you've accepted that, guess what? You can start living that life. You can start praying to him as a dad. And praying just means communicating to him. Like Solomon doesn't come to me and go, Heavenly Father, can I go to the football game if it's your will? I'd be like, what got into you? When does he come to me? Hey, Dad, can we do this? And if it's good, am I going to give it to him? Of course I'm going to give it to him. Amen? That's how he is. So if you ask for something, doesn't happen exactly how it's going to be, let me tell you something. He's giving you something better. So don't get bummed out. You know, like, well, I know you'll be, if you ask for health, he'll give it to you because it was covered. Amen? If you ask for safety, he'll give it to you. If he'll ask you for divine protection, it's yours. Amen? If you ask for a whole mind, it's yours. If you ask for joy instead of depression, yes, it's yours. Amen? Receive it. Just thank him for it. There's nothing you have to accomplish. There's no battle you need to fight. Hallelujah? The enemy would like you to get you to think there's a battle, so you keep battling. I don't see people that are in war typically enjoying the rest. He goes, enter my rest. Enter my battle that I already finished for you. You're more than a conqueror in me. You guys get that? So you can ask him for any of those things that he qualified you for. Praise God. And I mean that. Is the church, it's not the amount of prayer. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I think we've become a little less prayerless where we don't ask him for things simply because we don't think we deserve it. Yet he wants to give more than we deserve. So I would encourage all of us, me included, let's ask. Amen? You guys get it? And he withholds no good thing. Praise God. So Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. You're the King. You're the Creator. You're El Shaddai. You're the Mighty One. You breathe universes. Yet the most important thing, you're my dad. And I know you hate to see your kids in pain. You hate to see them in lack. You hate to see them with any sicknesses. So we can freely come to you and ask all those things. And we can have the confident expectation that not only are you going to do them, you're going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could even think or ask. That's who you are. You love us that much, Father. If we were dead and ungodly, you died for us. How much more can we expect salvation, sozo, prosperity, health, fullness, abundance, now that you're alive and we're in you? So, Father, we thank you for divine health. Any sickness right now, under the sound of my voice, we don't permit that. It goes in Jesus' magnificent name. That's a child of God that's purchased possession. Any sickness, any disease that there, it's trespassing. We command it to be gone in Jesus' magnificent name. We replace it with your health. Your perfect health in Jesus' magnificent name. Any symptoms of lack, we call that gone. We don't permit it. Any lack, any debts, anything that's not super abundance, we don't permit that. In Jesus' magnificent name. Father, we thank you that you've given us everything. We expect that to manifest right now in Jesus' magnificent name. Father, we thank you. If there's any depression, you've replaced it. We replace that right now with your joy, your oil of gladness. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you. Whatever they don't even dare pray, as they pray in the Spirit, you answer that. Show them how much you love them, that they're more than deserving. They're more than we can even think or imagine. This is a magnificent thing called the body of Christ, this church that we are, that we can expect great things. So, Father, we continue to thank you for businesses that come out of this. We thank you for supernatural promotions that come out of this. We thank you for supernatural debt cancellations that come out of this. Father, we thank you that we walk as the body of Christ in perfect health in Jesus' magnificent name. Father, if there's any accidents, anything the enemy has planned, we cancel those right now. We call divine protection in Jesus' magnificent name. These people hide into the secret place of the Most High. Father, I don't care what happens. I don't care if there's lack, if there's famine, if there's everything. 10,000 can fall on one side, 1,000 on the other. We will not be touched in Jesus' magnificent name. We are the body of Christ, this special people that you love unconditionally. And we just say thank you that you're our dad. And you love us that much that we can come to ask it and you never say no. You just say, maybe not that, something better. In Jesus' magnificent name. Amen, amen, amen. Any good? Hallelujah.